Good morning, City Reach. This is Brian. I'm here just to share the word with you today. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day, God. We love you. We adore you. We give you all glory, all honor. Lord, I just ask that you will allow what you've given me and what we've discussed to bless those who are hearing, to motivate, to inspire, to encourage. Lord, let them see you through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Hi. It's me, Brian Williams. Ha. Here to share the word with you today. But brief, you know, let's not be long if it's not strong. So let's just get into the word. Today we're going to talk about who's next. Who's next? Succession is a practice commonly used, you know, in business, family traditions, in ministry. Who's next? Who's coming after the man in charge? It could be detrimental to the ongoing success and progression of something. The wrong decision can cause an end to an era or the end of a legacy. I believe we've seen that before. We've seen that happen many times. The right decision can lead to unmeasurable success and even help extend the life of the leader if that leader is still around, still alive. I know a lot of times in the church setting, if succession is carried out correctly, the previous leader is still there, see new life in them, gives them longer life, gives them something else to look forward to. And it's always good to see what you've started, what you've created, grow legs and grow. Extending that life is can really motivate those who are in the congregation or in the business working up or part of the family to see that we don't have to work forever. We don't have to, you know, grind forever. We don't have to, you know, be on it all the time. We can enjoy the fruits of our labor and actually see them. Let's look at a small segment of the life of the leader and successor, Joshua. I'm going to just read from Joshua 1:1-9 for our scripture. Let's begin. After the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan and land in the land I'm giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be the wilderness and Lebanon, the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land and the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give to them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe every written thing in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Woo. Sometimes just reading scripture, it will just have you already motivated. without me giving points or anything, there's so much to unpack in there. It was God who told Moses who should be his successor. God put his stamp of approval on it. If you have God's stamp of approval, there should be no question on whether or not you can handle the situation. If God said it, that settles it. Come on, somebody. But it's so, like I said, it was so much of a pack unpacking there, being strong and being courageous. I've given it to you. I promise your forefathers. They didn't see it, so I'm giving it to you guys. That's enough for me just to stop right there. I'm motivated right there. I'm inspired right there. But let's go just a little bit further. Like I said, I'm not going to be before you long. Don't have to be long to be strong. So let's look at Joshua. Joshua was born in Egypt. He's a slave to Nun. He later became Moses' assistant, his aide, his right-hand man, the number two. You know, there are people who can't handle being that number two, can't handle being an aide, being an assistant, like it's beneath them. You have to have some point of reference if you want to be the man in charge. From what I've read, Joshua wasn't seeking after a position or Moses' spot. He was just doing the will of the Lord and being an aide to Moses. Sometimes we have to just focus on what God has for us in this present time. And God will elevate you. No question. If you stay true to what you're supposed to do and what he said, he'll be the one to give you the increase. There are benefits to serving. You can learn from an experience and not have to go through that experience. Joshua saw Moses get all the way to the promised land and not be able to experience the promised land because of his disobedience. You don't have to go through certain things to learn them. An example can be watched as well, as opposed to experienced. For you to realize that I don't need to go through that. God put this person or this put me in this situation where I could see what not to do or even what to do. Many great attributes of Moses, I'm sure Joshua learned. Even those that are not written, I'm sure he gleaned from Moses. So that's a benefit. That's something that you can always take with you. You can always take and apply later. So moving along. You know, Moses, time sent out 12 spies to Canaan, only to have Caleb and Joshua come back. They came back with confidence in God. Like, we can do this. We can conquer the land. The Israelites, we are strong enough. We are powerful enough. We can do this. With God's help, we can do this. That leads me to another point. You must have confidence. Gotta have confidence. God will allow you to look at situations as not just as obstacles, but cause you to realize that you're an overcomer in those situations. I love that. If God said it, that's all that matters. God will show you what you need to do to conquer the land, conquer your situation, conquer your dilemma, whatever you have. God will be there with you. Joshua didn't know he would be the one leading them into the promised land. He had no clue. He was there serving. He was there doing what God told him to do. He played his position and because of Moses, again, because of Moses disobeying God, he was able to be the one to lead. The whole time he was following Moses, he didn't know it was preparation for him to be the one to see them to the promised land. I think a lot of times people who are in positions like Joshua was in only see circumstances from the CEO or the man in charge or the person in charge. If you step back and look at it from the perspective of help, of servitude, of being a support, an aid, you get to see another side of things. You get to see what Moses sees and what the people see. You get to see so many things where, in some cases, you can be more equipped to lead because you have a wider perspective of everything. I believe this is what Joshua had. He was serving, but he still sat with the leader that God had placed there. Like I said, he didn't know that he would be the one leading, but he had faith that he would see it. He had the same goal that I'm going to see this promised land. He might not have known he would lead, but he had that faith like, God, I will walk across that land because you said so. I believe that not knowing is just as helpful as knowing. You aren't thinking of what ifs or how. You just do it afraid. That's one thing my wife, Carla Williams, always says, if we're going to do it, let's just do it afraid. Do it. We've got God on our side. Let's do it afraid. I love that about you, babe. All the while, knowing and realizing God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be with you. So with the unknown, it's almost like you know. I know that God will get me through whatever. He has the power to. He's given me the power to overcome every obstacle. So even without knowing, I know. Not knowing, I know. Man, that's good to me. I'm not your typical preacher, but when you unpack the word and God reveals things to you, just not knowing is just as good as knowing, because I know that I'm with a man that knows everything. He knows. So my father knows. My father is never going to leave me stranded or out there by myself. So I always win. Wow, that's great. Thank you, Lord. Just have to have the faith. If anyone can see you through it, it's God. He'll definitely see you through. With Joshua's story, it also taught me to not be afraid of the next chapter. This past week, Father's Day, June 20th, was also my birthday. I am now 40 years old. Saying it out loud is something that that makes you realize that you're 40 now. Hearing that I'm 40 puts my life in a whole nother perspective. Some things that I thought I would have, or I thought I would do by now, I haven't. Some things that I thought that I never would have done, I've done 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So it's taught me not to. Reading this story about Joshua and his life, it's taught me, don't be afraid of the next chapter. What I couldn't handle at an earlier stage in life can become easier for me now. One, because with age, sometimes, but generally, you get more responsible. You're able to handle things. You have experience in certain things that you might not have had at 21 or at 18. With that time becomes more experience. You know, you have all that. You can handle more. And like Joshua, you can handle more all because of God. So just to wrap this up, to answer who's next is you. You're next. God is all you need to conquer any circumstance. God is all you need. He can make you next. You can be next because you trust in God that He will never leave you nor fail you. Don't be afraid. God will equip you. You can handle any situation because God is there. It's God that will lead you to your promised land. As I stated about reflecting on turning 40 and worrying about what's next and who's next, God reminded me that I'm next, that he's equipped me, he's equipped you with whatever you need. Just keep working. Do like Joshua did. Joshua kept working, kept serving, kept believing, kept praying, kept listening to God. That communication with God is important. It's important with every step that you make. So, in asking who's next, you're next. You're next for your next business. You're next to create this app. You're next to create a way of life that causes you to have so much increase because you've sold an idea or you've done something, you've helped out millions of people. You're next. You're next for what God has for you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for Joshua's life. I thank you that he reminds us that if we continue just to pray and to serve you and serve who you have before us, that you'll bless us. You'll give us opportunity. You'll equip us with whatever we need to succeed, God. And I thank you for that, God. We love you, God. We ask right now, I ask that if there's anybody that's watching this that still is in doubt about if they're next or not, or they're in doubt about anything in their life, that they come to you. First, that they come to know you as Lord and Savior, and that they realize that they can't do anything without you, God. We pray for salvation right now. We pray for healing. We pray for anything that's next. New health, new businesses, a new level of thinking, a new level of faith. God, we thank you for everything that's next in our life, God. And all these things we pray in your name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful sermon by our brother Brian Williams, Prophet Brian Williams, Bishop Brian Williams, evangelist, the pastor, the lead, Brian Williams. There is such greatness inside of him. I'm excited and admire what God is doing through him and to him as he wraps up the series of June that men of the house have been sharing about chasing the lion, and where we shared about there's certain lions in our lives that are either chasing after us or certain lions that we have to chase after to know to conquer, to do the things that God has called us to do. There's certain going to be certain lions in your life that you're going to have to conquer, that you're going to have to chase after even. And what are you going to do? Are you going to run from them? Or are you going to run towards them? And with God's help, we can run towards our lions. We can chase after our lions and defeat every enemy, every tactic, every trick that the enemy comes those our way, every technique, every tactic, every test, we could outperform and do well past each and every test. And as Brian so leads us out and closes us out with what's next or who's next in our in like a line of succession, you're next. You're next in line to do what God's called you to do. Your time is now. Your time is coming up. The baton is being passed to you. The succession has been passed over to you. And it's for you to do what God's called you to do. Be it take your people into the land promised to their forefathers. Be it doing those great assignments that were promised to you, that were prophesied over you long time ago. And be it just to walk out what God has called in your life. You're not destined to stay where you are. You're not destined to be in the same predicament last year, today, and in tomorrow. You're not destined for that. You are destined for more. God has more planned out for you. God has greater than greatness planned out for you and your life. And I speak that over you. You're next. Your time is now. Who's next? You're next. I'm next. And we never like to end the service because without giving somebody the opportunity to know Christ as their personal Savior. This is why we do what we're doing. This is what we're called to do, to lead people into his family, to lead people back to salvation, lead people back to God, because God, our Father, throughout the month of June, we're celebrating Father's Day and Father's Month. God, our Father, wants to father all of us. He wants us to be adopted. He wants us to be into the family, the royal kingdom, the royal family of God's elect, the God's ones that God's called him to do. And how do we do that? Through the bloodline of Jesus. Jesus came and died for us, for our sins, to redeem us, to pay the price that we couldn't pay. He loves us so much. God loves us so much that he sent his son for us. Jesus loves us so much that he sacrificed his life for you and for me. All we need to do is accept him. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we have what we call in City Reach CRH Burlington, the ABCs of salvation. It's three simple steps from the book of Romans, the pathway to God. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe. Believe that Jesus, not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are saved and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Acknowledge, believe, confess. That's all we need to do is to ask Christ into our hearts. That's why we're here. That's why God has given us the opportunity. That's why you're watching what you're watching at the time you're watching this. Your time is now. You are next in line to accept Christ into your heart. All you need to do is ask. As Father, let's pray this simple prayer with me. Close your eyes and bow your head and repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, angels are rejoicing. The heavens are opening and declaring, we have another family member. We have another one that's been collected into the fold, who's been adopted and is able to call you our Father. And you are a father to all of us, a father to the fatherless, a friend to the friendless. And we have been adopted into this royal family to be what God has called us to do, enjoy the benefits and to do the things and do the responsibilities that God has called for us to do. I want to work this thing out together with you as a family, as a pastor, as a brother, as a friend. No matter who you are, no matter what your past, no matter where you came from, I want to be your pastor. I want to be help you to lead where you got God's called you to be and do what God has called you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to contact me. Text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, I am so honored that you decided to share your time with us. I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. We love you. I love you more. God bless you. God loves you even more than I do. I love you. Thank you for joining with us. Have a blessed day.